Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. So we are the Golden Girls podcast, in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls, and then we break it down a scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very special guest. Very happy to have him. The very awesome Rick Ischietta.
Hey.
How are you?
Thank you. Good. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Good to see you guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We watched an awesome episode.
Yes, we did.
An insane episode.
We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, we usually start off by asking our guest, what is their Golden Girls background? When did they start watching it? And whatever history you have, how did it happen for you?
Okay. Well, it's probably not the same story as you guys. You started a podcast. By the way, the way you guys do this, very interesting, out of the box. I love out of the box things, you know. This is really good setup. I haven't sat and watched a show from the 80s all together from beginning to end in a while, because I'll be honest, I'll channel change and then I'll sit and watch the Brady Bunch for like 5 minutes. Sit and watch, you know, what's his name? Is it Family Ties?
Family Ties.
Yeah.
I've been watching that one. Tom Hanks recently was on it. The one Tom Hanks was on.
Oh, nice.
Family Ties is on Hulu now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, but I haven't watched one from beginning to end. Like, I used to.
Yeah.
When I was young.
When you're little. Yeah.
And so Golden Girls wasn't one that I would run to the TV, I'll be honest, and schedule, make sure I see, but I'll be honest with you, I would skim around and I'd get stuck watching the Golden Girls. And what I realize right now, what you guys brought to me, is why I did that. Like, why I got Taxi was one of my favorites. Like, I'm a very Taxi fanatic.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Golden Girls, what it did for me, like, I was going through it, you know, this is 80s, right? Late 80s.
Yeah,
so I was a teenager. I was late, you know, a teen at that time. And so I was going through this, oh, my man, and I can't watch Golden Girls. You know? Right. But then I, oh, that was kind of funny. You know, like, oh, wow, the old lady, you know, she's wanting to get laid. And, what, you know, like, so I'm looking, you know, thinking all this stuff. And I was watching it right now. And I noticed, I go, number one, they're great actresses.
Yeah.
They're great. Because you don't get better acting than somebody who's been doing it for years.
Years.
And they're old ladies. They're all ladies there. Dude. And so I noticed great acting. And then the writing was very good.
Yeah.
You know, I was slowly looking at the writing, how they went back and forth. And then the camera shots, the three camera shots that are doing.
Yeah.
So these people knew what they were doing. It was like everybody on the Golden Girls, you know, staff must have been over 50 or 60. And it was their retirement ticket, you know, to become rich and just and die comfortably. You know?
They're like, we need to make this good because we're banking on this money for the rest of our lives.
We're making a retirement show for our retirement, basically.
Everybody should just do that. Friends, everybody should just like one last hurrah.
Yeah, yeah, we need to make the comedy sketch that's going to get us money. And you know who's kind of going through that right now is Garrett Morris. You know Garrett Morris?
Oh, yeah, from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, from Saturday Night Live, Two Broke Girls. He's on Two Broke Girls, CBS. And he's like, he's this older guy.
Okay.
And he does comedy. He does a comedy venue in LA called the Downtown Comedy Club. And he helped me out my first year. Much props to Garrett. Wonderful man. But he's going through that. He's making money at 70-something years old.
Yeah.
Good money. And has always been in the entertainment on some sitcom, so he's always been doing great.
So Two Broke Girls is his Golden Girls.
Yeah, it's like two is his own personal Golden. Yeah. Probably, who knows?
Like,
I don't know.
This paying for my kids' college. I better make this good.
I don't know. He could be getting another one. Like, starting a pilot. So he could be. That guy doesn't stop. He's
That's
a beast.
That's great. Yeah. When you're in the business, you're in it for a while. Mm. All right. And so we watched an awesome episode. It was season 3, episode 21. It is titled Larceny and Old Lace. The original air date was February 27th, 1988. Yeah. So,
oh, I remember 28 that.
28 years ago. Yeah, that day. Yeah. Teenage Rick.
Teenage Rick, February 27th. I was 17 years old, I believe. Oh, wow. Yeah, it could be 18.
Were you
man.
Probably in high school at that time, February?
It was either senior year or I was already out and I was at Pasadena City College. Taking theater classes.
Oh wow!
Oh boy!
Oh yes, I was in the theater like a beast. Yeah,
I did theater.
Yeah.
I was a techie though. I did lights and sound.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was not that great of an actor.
I was a lazy guy. I was always going for the big part. trying to get the big part and then just sit back and wait my turn.
I was like a little lesbian building the sets. Like I was like, all right, guys, we got to get this done.
That's cool.
I did many monologues from Neil Simon.
Yeah, which is Neil Simon was me too.
It's funny because we did Arsenic and Old Lace in high school. Like as a play, so that's what the pun of the title of this episode is. So it's
cool. What plays did you guys do? Like, what was one of your favorite plays that you did?
I helped with the sets for Guys and Dolls. let's see what else we did. We did The Glass Menagerie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's classic.
Yeah.
We did 12 Angry Jurors because there weren't enough men. Uh-huh. So we did our version, uh-huh. which is like half women, yeah. half men. 12. Yeah. I was actually juror number 6.
Okay. Which one?
The one with the least lines. And I have 4 lines in the whole play.
Okay.
I didn't know how to act. Yeah. I'm better now, but I would basically act like I would react like, what? Like the whole
that one like, line, here comes. Wait for it.
He what? And then they would stab the knife right in front of me and I'd be like,
such an angry man.
Angry juror. Like I was the stage manager I overheard on the headset talking shit about me and she was like, Anthony reacts. Oh, Anthony looks like he's on acid when he reacts to shit on stage. And I was like, oh no.
I'm in trouble.
And so I tried to like tone it down.
And then 2 months, like, what?
All right.
Funny thing is, I actually did 12 Angry Jurors well. We had the female jurors. We had the female male version. Cheers. We did that one. I was actually one of the racist jurors. I don't know what number it was, but I was like racist or bigot.
So it was your number 8.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you one. Know these guys. And it was it was such a cool challenge. I was 18. I had hair. You know, I had beautiful hair. And I was like, I look nothing like a racist bigot, but all right, let's go with it, right?
Right.
But I remember it was like 12 actors on stage, and I remember the juror that had 4 lines, too. Yeah. I was like, it sucks for him. He has to come, and we all have to do it.
Everybody talks. I was like a smarty type. I don't know. Like,
but then we did Barefoot in the Park. Neil Simon. You said Simon, right? And I played the old man delivery guy. And so, which was like juror number 4, which just had 5 second part. Mm-hmm. No lines. I just came in tired, like dropping the mail off this box. Water. That was my line. Water. I think like that. But the cool thing was I would spend 2 hours in makeup. And they would make me an old man. Yeah. So I had wrinkles and white hair. And
just
great.
For those little lines. Oh, that's awesome.
This is what I was making for. Water. That's it. And after the show, I'm like, hi. And everybody's like saying hi to the main people. Yeah. Like, look at my makeup.
I really believed you were old and thirsty.
I got into character, man. Inside and out. Hours of training. Oh, man. And so as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to give us a brief synopsis of what we watched for the listener who didn't watch it with us.
All right. Well, in this episode, Sophia has a new boyfriend, Rocco.
Forget about it.
Played by the always great Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
Yes. And he used to be a gangster. He used to run Detroit. And basically, he robs a bank for Sophia.
Mm.
Or did he? And Sophia, No, I'm sorry. Dorothy and Rose, Dorothy and Blanche, find Rose's old diary.
Yeah.
And and they read it, and it causes shenanigans.
For like a whole 2 minutes.
Yes. I know. Just like, wow,
it's... Yeah, it's just the message is women can be backstabbers, but then they'll just hug you right after. Like,
right. Oh, yeah. That is
forget,
the theme. Like,
they'll forget it. Yeah. They don't
I think the guys are more like that.
Holding grudges, though. Guys will hold grudges.
They'll hold grudges, but like... There'll be a 10-year grudge, and then one day they'll be friends again. Yeah. After a few fights,
I love you, man.
They'll punch each other in the face, and then they're fine.
I actually got two friends like that. I'm still friends with them. We fought when we were younger, fist fight, and they're my good friends today.
That's good. Yeah. So you get listeners, become friends with your enemies.
The guy you fight.
Yeah.
This weekend, go make friends.
Go
with
make
them.
Friends with them. Or
go
her.
Make friends with your fist.
Get into a big fight, then become friends. Okay. So we start we go scene by scene, and Sophia is sneaking around. She thinks that Dorothy is at the beauty salon when she invites her boyfriend Rocco over. So she comes into the living room with a big
pitcher of lemonade.
Yeah. And she's like holding it sort of like it's gonna fall, even though it's not full. She's sort of like a little old lady. It's so big, you know, like she's a funny woman. But Dorothy comes in, she's like, She senses that something's up because Sophia's like, get the fuck back out there. Like, you're not done in that beauty salon. And so...
You're not Christie Brinkley. They're not done early.
See, that was a great line. That was a great written line. You need more time on your face. Like, that relationship between them, too, is the core of that show.
Because she's like such a... Like, Dorothy's a daughter, but she acts like the mom. Yeah, and then Sophia's sort of like a child. Like, she regressed back to, like, wanting freedom and shit.
Yeah, she's like a dangerous teen with her.
Yeah.
With her sexy, racy boyfriend.
And I kind of got my mom's entering that world right now. So I've been experiencing that. She's actually been staying with me last 6 months, and I just put her in a plane to Ecuador. She'd drive me crazy, man.
Yeah.
And she's in Ecuador now. So, like, but she was...
Is she getting into teenage like stuff?
She can't get her license right now. Okay, because she can't pass this one, the written test, and she keeps blaming the computer, the touchpad, and she's like, "It's whatever happened to the pen and the why do I have to the computer?" and so she blames the DMV. She blames everybody, and she can't get her license. But you think she stopped driving?
No.
She's driving. She's still driving. I said, "Mom, they're gonna pull you over. They're gonna tow your car away. Ah, leave me alone." And then so she's doing the same thing. That's what I'm going through that right now.
Does she drive that big truck out there?
No, that's mine. Okay. That's mine.
I was like, what is she driving?
No, hell no. She drives this little hatchback, fucking Honda hatchback or something. And her car is also dying too. Like, I mean, not her. Oh, no. I mean, her car's blowing. But like her car has like bald tires. Like, Mom, we gotta get you tires. Oh, I'm okay. So she's very rebellious, you know what I mean? Right now, and I try to tell her, your decision making is terrible.
She's
terrible.
She's becoming Sophia. She's becoming.
Oh man, dude, she's just.
So you're like a parent kind of now.
It's coming. I can see it coming, but she doesn't want. She doesn't want to live with anybody. She's just staying with me because she was in the hospital last August, and then we had to take care of her. And then her pad got infested. Her little place she was living at got infested. And I said, "Mom, you can't be paying rent there anymore. Let's get out of there.
Yeah.
I'll put your stuff in storage and you stay with me." And then, I don't want to live with anybody. I want to go live on my own. But you can't see good. Your driver's license. You're not eating well. You know, so it's like I'm trying to help, and I tell my sisters, "Help, help."
She needs to live with three other old women.
I really want that, but she really loves her children.
Yeah,
my mom loves her children. That's her life.
She's sitting here right now. You ask her, what is your my mijo. Mijo. Mija, mis niños. It's my life. It's my life. I will do anything. Like, oh. And she thinks I'm like her that's pride what, and
that's
joy.
That's how Mexican moms are. Yeah, yeah.
Latinas.
Latina moms. Yeah, yeah. All of them. And so, yeah. So you can relate to Dorothy very well.
Yes, very much.
So they go, but your mom isn't dating a bank robber, of course, but okay, so that's vague to say right now anyway.
Yes,
but
yes,
okay, so we'll get, so they go to the patio. McEwen's out there smoking a cigar. He's just like he's such a great actor, like, yeah, he really, yeah, didn't like play it cliche. He was just like, I'm gonna sit here, like, yeah, fuck, yeah, you know, I'm not.
He may or may not have robbed a bank, but I think he's my favorite Golden Girls boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
I started liking Mickey when he did Black Stallion.
The movie.
Black Stallion. That's when I that was a horse movie, a horse racing movie.
And so I've never seen it.
It's a good one. Yeah.
It's really good. Like, it's a tearjerker. Very soft movie.
I'll put it on my queue. She's very, okay, like, it's weird because throughout the whole episode, Dorothy is very loud about hating Rocco, and he's in the house. Yeah. Like, he's like, he's not away. He's in the house and yelling about it. And she even goes out there and she's like, yelling at him, kind of, and like, she called him Trump for a minute. Like, she was, oh, because they were playing strip poker.
Yeah.
Out in the patio.
Yeah. Dorothy, and like, on the open. Sophia was like taking her clothes off. Yeah. Yeah. Which also, she had a belt. I would have taken the belt off first.
Yes.
Right. I think at that point, they're just trying to piss off Dorothy.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Because then Sophia's like, she treats me like a kid. Uh-huh. Right. And then he's like, my daughter treats me that way too. Uh-huh. And so I was just like, wait, do you have a daughter? Like, I hate it when people, like, characters say something, like, they mention a character and then we don't hear anything about it, or we don't see that person. Yeah. You know, I don't know. That drove me nuts. Okay. So they're like, fuck you, Dory. Oh, but before that, he's like, he's confessing that he, like, was in the mob. You know, he ran Detroit.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah. And I'm like, and then Sophia tries to save it. She's like, oh, he ran the Detroit Marathon.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Again, good writing.
Good writing.
Yeah, good writing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And so Dorothy's like, right. Like,
almost like Mickey Rooney, nothing bothered him. He's been treated like the character.
Yeah.
The Rocco character has been treated like this for years.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so, and the other family members of a girlfriend he's dating, they don't like him. So he sat there. He's like, he knew it.
It was weird because he was not affected by anything. All he cared about was drinking lemonade. He's got his pussy next to him, his lemonade, his game.
Yeah.
He's got his cigar. Yeah. He's like a baller, right?
I wonder if he couldn't even hear Dorothy. Like he's 85. He can't hear very well. It's just
He's like, good to see you, kiddo.
Yeah, yeah.
What I don't get also is like, why, like, Sophia doesn't seem, is not high maintenance either. Uh-huh. Why he felt the need to buy her things, you know, or because Sophia's never been that kind of materialistic person, you know?
Well, the answer to that is vagina will make a man do some crazy things.
Yeah. From his past experience, maybe he had a wife that was like, left him because he didn't have that much money, because he failed Detroit or something.
Oh, yeah, that came afterwards, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
there's a whole dark backstory to Rocco.
Yeah, I still don't know what it is, but okay, so the next scene, Rose is in the kitchen drinking coffee by herself, sort of staring vacantly into nothing. And
like, usual position.
Yeah. Dorothy comes in and she's like, my mom's out of control. I smelled NyQuil on her the other night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, something about leotards or stockings.
Yeah. She came back from his house and she smelled NyQuil on her breath, and he had his surgical stockings in her pocket. Yeah. Yeah. Very racy.
People do get high off of NyQuil though. Like if you chug NyQuil and you fight the sleep.
Yeah.
It's like Ambien. You just sort of like are really high.
Well, you ever seen that Chris Rock one where he goes, "Dad just gave you Robitussin, right?" Well, my dad used to give me NyQuil.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, he didn't know how to take care of me. And so like my mom would get the towel, my mom would, you know, get the Vicks vapor rub, and my dad would just, "Here, drink a shot of this." And then I would do it and I'd sleep all night, no problem.
That's awesome.
It's like you're not even sick. It's during the day.
And so at this point Rose is like, "I think Blanche is being rude to me." And then Dorothy's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And then Blanche comes in and she's like, "Rose, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah." And then Rose is like, "See, she's being rude." Anyways, and so it's because Blanche read Rose's diary, who she has on hand.
She had it in the living room. Shit, like in the living.
It was so weird how like they just had it out.
Anybody here guilty of doing that?
Of reading a journal? Oh, yeah. I read my brother's.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
My sister, too. I used to read her diary.
Yeah.
My older sister.
I once stole my brother's journal. It was a journal for a boy, I guess. But I stole his journal, and I, like, hid it. And he was so mad at me. I know. But he was a dick to me.
He deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved it. And he would be pissed. But yeah, he was a dick.
I was that little brother that would do the stupid things. Like at school, I would take my sister's tampon out of her purse in front of her friends. And I'd be like, "What's this?" And then she's chasing me all around school with a tampon.
"I hate you." That's so funny. That's so like sitcom.
It's so sad. I remember doing that too.
Yeah.
Or any guy that was talking to her, I'd go up to him. I mean, not every guy, but a guy I say I didn't like, it was Ricky back in the day. "Hey, Ricky, little Dicky," you know, all that stuff with the little Dicky. And so I remember a couple guys, like I would kick them right in the nuts, like really hard, like bam, and then run. And I just run, and I was so fast they couldn't catch me. You know, and then they would get me later.
Oh, that's so funny. Did you read your sister's diary?
Oh, my sister read mine. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I'm on the other side of this.
So you had it done to you.
Yeah, no. My sister would. I had a Ramona and Beezus diary. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember Ramona, the Ramona series?
No.
What is that?
I don't remember.
It's like this like little sister and bigger sister in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a whole series. I guess they had a cartoon. Uh-huh. There's a few movies of it. Mostly it wasn't like crazy stuff. It was like dreams I had. Yeah. That's about it. Like,
nothing about boys.
It was like my sister would be like, "Oh yeah, you had that dream where you were watching Beverly Hills 90210, and Brandon grew fangs and bit you on the arm," and like so.
She's just like teasing you about your dreams.
Your dreams.
You think the stuff while you're sleeping. Like that's the worst kind of teasing.
But imagine if you did that today. Like if you actually wrote your dreams down.
Oh my God.
Right? Like what is going through our mind at that age?
It's so weird. I dismiss my dreams. I'll be like, "That was stupid. Why'd you dream that?" And then just keep going.
Yeah.
So Blanche is like, she opens up the diary and then she's like, "Read this passage of this whole diary," and it's like very specific to fit two situations, and it's "I'm so sick and tired of living with these two pigs," right? I think there was more. Mm-hmm. I forget, but they're like, "Whoa, Rose is a bitch," and so later on we find out, you know, the the truth, but of what that was. So then Dorothy, I feel like I should just say it. The spoiler alert, guys. It was about two real pigs in a farm.
And her diary was
got me. Yeah. Got me because yeah. I was like, how do you like, were there no dates on the diary?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
well, I mean, it could be no dates. Could be no dates.
It could be no dates.
Some people do that, which doesn't make sense keeping a diary though.
No. Yeah.
But then Rose is not that smart. Right. Never been, you know.
She's right. Like, I wrote dates on my diaries.
Yeah, you're required to write dates.
Yeah, especially back then because you wrote a lot of letters. You dated everything. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's true. Rose is dumb.
Yeah.
She could have been done then. So she's dumb
okay.
now.
It's okay that that diary was kept like that with no dates.
Right. And also, but it was like, did they not read anything else on that diary?
Right. Just those
it's
parts,
like, it's like, there must have been stuff about piglets or, you know,
horses.
They're eating all the garbage. Yeah. I have to feed these pigs garbage, you know, or like
maybe they're just reading into it. Like Dorothy's like, I ate a whole bunch of garbage that one day. Like, oh my God.
Oh, and then Blanche is like, I was in the hay the other day. Yeah. The one time. I was rolling in the mud, oinking, aggressively oinking. Okay, and so Dorothy ends up reading the diary. She ends up like, I don't understand why they don't go into their bedroom to read it.
Everything's out in the open.
Wow. It was like, I think they wanted to get caught, because they just left the diary, on the kid, on the
they wanted to address the information in the diary. I think they wanted to come to that point.
Yeah, they're like, we need to talk about this. Yeah. We're gonna leave the diary out with pliers.
Well, let's argue that Rose wanted it to be out in the open because she's carrying around this diary that's 40, 50 years old. Just
Was the diary? Did she have it in her bedroom? Did she leave it out? She left it out in the living room.
Is she trying to relive her old pig 4-H memories. Pig memories? Yeah,
not sure what's going on there, but that's the feeling you always get with Rose. You don't know what's going on up there. You know, nobody that's the look the other characters always give when Rose gives one of those great punchlines. And they're just like, fuck, there's literally just air coming out of that head.
What is wrong with you, woman?
Yeah. And she just played that part great.
Yeah. And then in that scene, Mickey Rooney comes into the living room right before she finds a diary. And he has this shopping cart filled with stuff. And then because people are breaking into his house. Or into the neighborhood, into his house, but into houses in his neighborhood, which was strange to me. This whole thing was strange. Yeah. Like, I need to put my stuff in your house.
Yeah.
It was like, what is wrong with you? Like, are you just planning on moving in? Yeah. Or are you planning on taking her? Because he was planning on taking her. But why? Like, it seemed like they were going to run away, just them with the cash. Like, why did he have to save his moose?
Moose. That's called props.
Yeah.
That's called props. You know what? I see this happening on the set, right? I see this happening. Mickey Rooney is like, okay, we got to look at, I have stuff in my garage.
Yeah.
And they're like, moose head. You know, it's like, oh, that'd be great. Put the moose head in there. You know, we're rolling the shopping cart, right?
Or he has it in his writer that he has to have a taxidermy animal head in every single TV show.
Each appearance. Yeah.
In his contract, right?
Oh man.
That's how he knows everything is okay. kind of the brown M&Ms that Van Halen had.
Alfred Hitchcock being in the background of his movies. He needs to have a moose head.
Yeah.
He comes in with a shopping cart, which means they must have hauled the shopping cart from his house.
Yeah.
That or the shopping cart is probably part of his valuables. He's like, I stole this from a Target. So but like
when, later when we went into the Sophia's room, there was way more stuff, you know, than just a typewriter and a moose head. And so it's sort of like there was a truck that he may have pulled up and brought everything in.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah. There was like an old TV.
A typewriter. In the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a globe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Someone's going to steal your globe.
Wow, you guys were watching detail. Like, I didn't see the globe.
Yeah, the globe.
It was like the nightstand or on the other side.
Yeah.
I just noticed the globe, and that's probably it.
Yeah. Someone's going to break in and try to steal it. They're like, I got to know where Bulgaria is.
Yeah. And so, you know, thieves want to know where countries. There was no Google back then.
Yeah. And
so then after they get caught, there's like a fight. And like, Rose is like, how dare you? And the fight is so like worded in a way that they don't mention Dorothy and Blanche being in the diary.
Yeah.
They say like, you wrote terrible things in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Rose is like, I did. You know, and so like it was just perfectly you know, so it's not to imply that they were in it, because then they would find out the truth. You're pigs.
But how much do you think like Rose wrote in there that were actually really terrible that they never got to? But Rose felt like they read.
Yeah.
And who knows? There's a whole story there we didn't hear.
Maybe like at the end of the diary, she like killed those pigs.
And I think so.
That could be.
If they accused her of writing something terrible, then there's something that she's ashamed of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She fucked those pigs.
Killed or something. Yeah.
She robbed a bank with those pigs.
Oh, shit.
Going full circle.
pig robbers. To put little masks on the pigs.
There you go.
Like, and then they have like these satchels, and you just put the money in the pig satchels.
I like that the pigs have masks on. Yeah. And just like another farm animal, like a horse head.
Yeah.
Nixon mask.
The pigs with president mask on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's got like Ronald Reagan mask.
Bush, Obama, Clinton.
Oh, man. Oh, those pigs are here again. They're going to run.
This is an oink oink.
Give us all your garbage. And money.
And your lunches.
And lunches. Yeah, the bank employee room gets totally destroyed.
Don't think you're going to make us into bacon. If you're not, we're going to be out of here.
Nice. So then they get into a fight. In the next scene, they're in Sophia's room. And that's when, like, it was very specific, like, where that bag, like, the bag was positioned. And it was on that.
It
was on the recliner.
And then she moved it.
When Blanche sat down on it, she put it next to her.
And then, you know what? Right then I said, there's money in there. Like, I saw it coming. Okay. Yeah, I saw it coming.
I was thinking money because of larceny and the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Title. Or drugs.
Yeah. Oh.
Or, I don't know, some sort of something, I don't know, like pills fall out of them. The bag or
there's
something.
There's probably pills in there. I mean, at some point.
At the bottom, there were pills.
I bet you today it would be like Viagra. Like a whole bunch of Viagra or something.
Viagra's today. Expensive, yeah.
It was written today.
Extends, which is the cheap man's Viagra.
Male enhancement.
Yeah, performance drugs.
Yes.
Mickey Rooney probably, you know, at that point was having to use those. I don't know. He was kind of old. You pointed out his balls.
His balls. Well, he sat down. There was one scene where he sat down. And you know, old men, when they wear these pants that, you know, they're kind of like Docker style pants, but they're hugging and they're making a lot of definition down there. What's going
There's
on?
There's a lot of like
roll. Like lumps and rolls. And
it's like you could put your hand in there. Down there, and it could get stuck.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's like
It's like, I don't know about you, but I'm always like, I'm always like wanting to make sure that I'm like set down there. But he just sat down and it was like, it looked like a big balloon popping out, like to the side.
It was squished.
And then I go, oh my God, look at that nutsack. And you guys said, yeah, wow, look at
that. It was out of control.
It's like a fanny pack.
Yeah. It was, it's weird. He had like maybe he has a fanny pack for his balls.
You know, truth is, that's our future, Anthony. That's our future.
It really is. But I don't think I'll wear slacks.
I know, exactly, right?
Hopefully.
Learned anything from this podcast, just watch your, check your balls.
Yeah. Check your balls.
But another thing somebody brought up the other day was, you remember how they used to wear short shorts? Like guys used to wear short shorts.
Yeah, in the 70s.
Yeah, and we had a cousin from Ecuador one time, and we were wearing long shorts by then. This is like the 90s. But they, you know, people in other country always behind on the fashion, right? So he still had the short shorts. And he was staying at my mom's house. And my sister was like about 15, 16 years old back then. And he'd be laying, he'd be sitting there, and his balls would be hanging out of his shorts, right? So my mom.
Not wearing underwear?
Or the underwear wasn't helping. I don't know what it is. But my mom would be like, you need to take him to your place. Because his balls are hanging out of the sack here in my living room. And
a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah. So you did. I'm like, oh, man, all right. Yeah. Like, so can't come to my place.
Did you teach him the ways of having balls hanging out?
No. I was so busy with real estate back then. I was, like, working, you know.
But wouldn't he, like, feel... Yeah. Like,
real estate
he be,
took
like,
too
I
much time.
Point...
You couldn't help someone with their balls.
You're like, I have no balls time.
Yeah, I got no time for your balls.
The market
now.
Is good, man. Can't help
you. I gotta go sign loan docs right now. If I can fix your balls. Have a conversation, a meeting with your balls, my friend.
Oh man.
Oh my God.
I never told him this. Maybe he follows me
today.
He follows me on Facebook. Maybe he'll be like, hey, you know, he'll hear it.
He comes to a show. He's still wearing the shorts.
This is in Ecuador. You know, this guy became a bodybuilder. Like,
oh, then his balls are probably
smaller.
Small.
Yeah, maybe that's a. Yeah.
Someone had a talk with him.
Yeah, somebody
He's
had
like,
a talk.
You know, you should lift weights.
You should become a bodybuilder. Take care of those nuts.
Yeah.
It's a change for the better.
He does motivational like talks now.
How to shrink your nuts.
Yeah.
Guys over 50.
His book is called When Your Balls Hang Low.
Do your balls hang low? Do they wobble to the floor? All right.
Exactly. Okay. So where were we?
We're nice off track.
His balls. Okay. So then they make up. Well, first Rose is like, we're never gonna be friends again. We are never, ever, ever gonna be friends again. And she leaves. And then she comes back in and she's like, oh, I can't be mad at you guys for reading my pig journal, reading about my pig robberies.
You know what's funny is I almost feel like I see this on Facebook a lot. Like, oh, I'm never friends with this person again.
Yeah. And then you see like on their timeline, Jeffrey became friends with Sylvia.
Yeah. Sorry, you have a kind heart.
Yeah. And they become best friends. Like best overly BFF. Compensating for
taking pictures, catching up. It's like, bitch, you're just mad at each other like a year ago. What's wrong with you?
Fake people, man.
Facebook people.
Fake ass people. Okay, so then she reveals that it was a pig journal, blah blah blah. And then they start hugging and then Sophia's like, get the fuck out. She didn't say fuck, but she's like, get out! Like, and then she throws, like, it's very violent. She just throws the bag at them. Like, that bag must have been, if it was real cash, it would have been heavy.
Yeah.
And she just threw it across the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like shot put it.
at her daughter and her friends.
He's just throwing stuff that's not hers.
That's not hers.
Yeah. Just like, whatever. Get
I wonder
out
how
my
many
room.
Times they had to do that shot. Like, how many times they had to do that take.
They're like, you guys take out more money. Yeah. She can't throw it. So they throw
it with a Do it less angry.
Hey, have you ever seen Juror 4 and 12 Angry Jurors?
Do it like you're on acid.
Exactly.
And so that, yeah, the stage manager talks shit about all the Golden Girls too. So this all this money comes out and they're like, what the fuck? And they pick it up and then they throw it back, like Blanche throws it back on the bed, and it just falls out even more, making it look like it's tons of money, which it probably is. And then they're like, they speculate that it was Mickey, that Rocco stole the money from the bank, right? And then she's like, she's like, oh, he had it. He had the bag when we went to the bank. Like, and then when he came out, it was full.
No, she said, he said, keep the car running.
Yeah.
That's a great, keep that's the a great car line. Running. It's like, hello, that's a better clue than that, right?
So,
well,
yeah.
It is Miami. They do need air conditioning on.
But like, that's very true. He's like, I wanted to be cool. But like, so he must have, if he, what he says at the end of the episode is true, and he did cash out his savings, he must have gone into that bank and been like, I want to take out all the money that I have in this bank.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That could have been, that could,
that
have, been
could have been the situation.
Too. Yeah.
But why? In such a bag, like that's so mobster style.
Mobster style, and had to run out of there because someone might steal all
keep
your
the
money.
Car running,
you know? Yeah. It was really weird. You know, you can still have money. You know, banks are everywhere. Like, I don't know if it. Maybe he was in a Florida bank, and they're move. He wanted to move to back to Detroit to Michigan.
Well, I feel like that's like an old person move, like almost. Every old person I know like doesn't really trust banks and probably has
because of the
a
depression.
Bunch of cash like or like around like that's like
very,
a more
very
true.
In the first place he should have just not used the bank, right?
Well, or, I mean, I just feel like that's like probably normal practice for Miami. Right. It's like people, old people coming in and like getting money. Like, yeah, I just want my whole life savings out in cash. I've got this weird bag. Right. Can you just put it here? And they've got like a whole line for that. Like, that's like most of their business.
Or maybe he was on some sort of drug because he was like paranoid maybe that the bank was going to take his money and like neighbor, like his people are breaking into his house. Like this sort of what, like he knows that shit's going to go down in Florida somehow, or, you know, and he needs to get out of there and take his woman. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So, but he calls.
Can we stop for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a problem with the battery. So
I'll take a bath and wait.
Okay.
It's working now.
Okay, and then Rocco calls at the exact moment when they are like, I wonder if he robbed a bank. He calls
at like 11, like midnight. Like he's calling super late.
Yeah. And then it was like the quickest, like he had nothing to say to her but to answer her questions, and then she hung up on him.
Yeah.
It's like he knew. You know, he's like outside. He's like watching. He's like, oh, I like, he just like, I don't know, maybe had a camera. Maybe that fucking moose.
An 88?
Was a camera.
An 88? You're getting all millennial on this now.
I know.
But who knows? This guy doesn't trust banks, does not
like,
have a camera.
That's why there's like a whirring noise coming from the moose. There's like this giant tape deck.
I can hear somebody like that in the writing room, right, for Golden Girls, right, in 1988, right? And then going, hey, maybe he had a camera in the moose. And everybody in the room's looking at that person like he's Rose.
What's a camera?
Like, what's wrong with you? That sounds so beautiful. I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. And then, way ahead of and his then time. They shut me down. I'm that writer that gets shut down.
Juror number four.
Juror number four. Calm down.
I mean, it'd be a good idea. It'd be like a webcam, basically. Yeah. Like, right? Yeah.
The iMoose. That's what she had. And so then So then he's like, yeah, I robbed a bank. We don't hear that, though. It was just, she was like, just Sophia's yeah. just like, hangs up the phone. He robbed a bank.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So then they go to the kitchen, and she's like, I'll take care of it. I'm going to have a convo with him before we call the police.
Yeah. I'll try to talk him yeah. into turning himself
in. I'm going to talk to a criminal by myself, and I'm like in my 80s, in my... And it's gonna turn out great.
bad decisions. Yeah. Bad decisions.
Yeah. Everyone's really casual about it. They're just like, oh. Yeah.
Bad decision.
And then they
making.
Like, they and then the Golden Girls are in the kitchen and they're just sort of like, oh, she's like, he did it. She Sophia says he did it for love.
Yeah.
Which I guess
that was his good. He had a good reason for doing it, for love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did it for love. And then hangs up the phone. And then like. And so, like, then the Golden Girls are really wrapped up in acts of romance because they see this as a very romantic, that they need to share their romantic stories.
Yeah.
Rose, the most romantic thing a man has done. By the way, robbing a bank is it romantic? It depends, right? You know, I don't know. I would be mad.
Again, men do crazy things for a vagina.
Yeah. So. I would be flattered if someone robbed a bank for me.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. So, I think I'd be scared. Fine. In all honesty,
my heart would be beating.
Like, if somebody came home and said, I robbed a bank for him, well, get the hell out of my house.
Yeah. Like if a woman walked, like...
Like if a woman, yeah. If a woman was trying to, like... I'd be scared. I'd be like, holy shit, great. This is going to get ugly.
That means she has a gun.
At this point, I think I'd be pretty impressed because I think it's pretty hard to rob a bank. Like,
absolutely. No, yeah. But that impression...
Especially with pigs.
The being impressed doesn't last long, though, because the cops are coming.
Yeah.
You won't be impressed in prison.
Right.
Or you sit there behind bars. Well, I'm really impressed, you know?
Wow.
Look where you got us. Right?
God.
Yeah.
Most crimes are done to impress people.
That's true, too, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Oh, I killed that person
I
for you.
I killed that person for you. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. We should leave town. so then Rose's thing is that the most romantic thing a man has done for her is he spelled out her name with sheep.
That's pretty great.
Pretty.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was one of my bigger laughs.
See, that's the biggest thing a guy ever did romantic.
Yeah.
Now, that's when it hit there. I said, when we're talking about this, I'd like to get real. What about you guys? What has done or what'd you do?
What's your romantic thing, Genevieve? That someone has done for you.
Well, my husband proposed to me. Okay. That was that's nice. Yeah, romantic. On top of a mountain. Sure. That was cool.
On top of a mountain.
Yeah. Aww. That was nice. Yeah. I kind of figured out because we were going, he was going to take me somewhere and then he was kind of shady about where he was taking me.
Wow.
And in the car. And his mom called.
You don't know if you're going to get married or get killed.
Yeah. Let's go up this hill.
Well, he
is. This dark, weird.
My husband's a college professor. I don't think he's going to kill me.
Educated people don't kill people.
Yeah. So I kind of thought he was going to propose. And then his mom called and he looked at his phone. I saw it was his mom, and he always picks up the phone when his mom calls, except this one time. Uh-huh. She was calling to ask if...
Hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Hear that, yes. Ms. Libman?
Yes, so I knew what was going on. So that was very romantic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you, Tony?
Oh, no, nothing.
Nothing, huh?
Guys don't do romantic things.
Right?
Well, I've never been in a... Like, it's been a while since I've been in a relationship, so maybe I don't remember... But, I do everything. I'm the romantic.
But is it expected?
A guy once, on Valentine's Day, got me a dog.
A dog?
Yeah.
And is that, did you keep the
dog?
That
was the most, I think.
But you don't have a dog.
I don't have a dog.
So you didn't keep the dog?
No, the relationship didn't last. And I didn't want a dog. I was going to school. I didn't have time to take care of a dog. But I like dogs, and that's why he thought a dog would be a good idea.
Yeah.
So I I left the relationship and I kept the dog because he was a crazy alcoholic and wouldn't take care of the dog. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know he wouldn't take care of the dog. he cared about his cats more. But then I was still going to, I was working two jobs and I was going to school and I didn't have time to take care of the dog. So I gave the dog to this guy that had a bunch of like golden retrievers and a huge place where she can run and she's probably still there. But like that, but it was, he thought it was romantic, but it was just like, it's like when you give someone like a phone, you know, like now you have to buy the plan for the phone and switch over. You know, you don't buy someone a phone.
Pet ownership is a big deal.
Yeah. Here's a child. Here you go.
In a guy-guy relationship, in a gay relationship, is it expected to be romantic? Because a lot of guys in general aren't. But then is that part on?
Depends on the person. If the person's a romantic, they expect the other one to be romantic. Most relationships I'm in have been fueled by lust. And so there's a level of romance, I guess, in that. You
know? Passion.
Yeah.
Heat, passion.
I mean, if you're fucking, that's romantic.
There you go.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Cool. I mean, there have been guys that, like, after sex, they're just like, well, let's eat.
I want to play Madden.
Want to play Madden, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'll watch South Park, whatever. You know, not very romantic, but it happens.
Get a burger.
Okay, so they basically, at the end of this, they go into, like, these long-ass stories, but what got me was like the story of the diary ended too soon for me. Like, I wish that it kept going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was like, I thought it ended prematurely. I think all the endings ended prematurely in this episode, because then they're in the patio. Rocco climbs out of, okay, so she's meeting with Rocco at night, and Rocco sort of climbs out of, like, the bushes behind the wall, which is really weird because he must have walked back by that gate to get there. And I don't know if, like, Mickey Rooney was like, you know what would be a good idea if I climb out of the, the wall? I think the writers wanted to make it seem like he's on the run.
Yeah.
He crawled in from the beach or something, right? I don't know. Okay, and so this part was... Okay, so then this part was strange because Sophia was like, I can't be with you because you stole that money. And then pretty much he confesses that he didn't steal the money, right? And that he just wanted her to have a lot of things, which basically means that, but that at the end, Sophia gets to be with a guy who's really rich.
Yeah.
Well,
she gets
$40,000.
Yeah.
In cash.
Well, I wish my mom would hook up with a guy like that right now.
Yeah.
Help us.
In cash. In her bed.
Yeah. There you go. At her feet.
Right. But we're also speculating, what if he panicked, say Sophia doesn't want to be with him because he's a bank robber? What if he lied again and said that I'm not a bank robber to stay with her?
Yeah.
Right. But we never find out because we don't see them again.
Yeah.
They just, he could have killed her. We don't know. Like, you know too much.
Yeah, that ending was kind of weird. It was just on the phone and, or when she was over the house, I guess, sleeping over.
They just decided to keep it strictly physical.
That was a great line. That was a great line she had.
Yeah. Okay. And so then, like, we go into the Golden Girls kitchen and they're playing a board game. And I'm like, you know why you're playing a board game? Because you ended the B plot too soon. You could have had the diary ending scene.
Let's talk about this board game. Yeah, they're playing some kind of Trivial Pursuit.
They're playing. Oh,
yeah. But it looks like it's clearly a Sorry board. It was
the Sorry game
board. Yeah.
It's like they created their own game. Let's play Trivial Pursuit, but we only have a Sorry game board. Okay. And so that scene just goes on, and they like talk about Mozart, and it was a Trivial Pursuit, I think, pun intended.
Rose got a Mozart question right.
She did.
Yeah.
But you knew the answer to that.
Right? I did.
You said that's right.
Oh wait. When you were... the violin thing. Oh no. What I knew was that she was gonna know the answer.
Oh, okay. Like
I was like, watch. She's gonna know the answer because it's such a complex. And this is how joke writing usually works a lot of times. Such a complex thing she's coming up with. And then who's the character who always surprises people? And I was like, oh, she's gonna know the answer, right? And she came out with violin, or whatever.
You're
and
looking then at it from a writer's standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And then she said, that's in the Bugs Bunny thing. And she kept going that way.
Yeah.
And then the other one hit her on the head with it.
Dorothy smacked her in the head like a child. she just forgave you. You're hitting her in the head. Okay, and so then Sophia calls. Dorothy answers the phone, and Sophia says she's staying at Rocco's. And I wasn't sure if that was the same night as the conversation took place or not, because I was expecting, in all honesty, I thought she was gonna call and be like, "I ran away with Rocco."
Yeah.
Did you guys feel like that would happen? And I was gonna say to be continued.
Yeah, you know what? That it's exactly the feeling that I was getting. I was like, I was waiting for a part two to this.
Yeah, like it was like where and when it ended, where Dorothy, the joke was basically that Dorothy's the mom, which has been the joke the whole time.
Yeah.
Like it just, we were just like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to the Rocco situation?
Like, yeah, she decided. I mean, yeah. Robbing a bank's pretty sexy,
right?
Yeah. Even lying about it's sexier. Yeah. Like so, yeah.
Right.
I'll throw him a bone.
I know I don't have a camera in a moose that knows exactly what's going on in this room, and so I have to go along with what she expects. Yeah, like maybe the reason, maybe he was like, because he felt like Sophia needed money, which I don't understand. Sophia's not materialistic at all. But she does like money. She does like money. But, like, why would Rocco think Sophia gives a fuck? You know? She's dated a gardener before. Like, in the previous episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They made her seem like she was, like, some fancy lady that needs tons of shit. Anyway, that pissed me off. Okay. Any other thoughts on this episode, guys?
I just was thinking one thing is like how amazing how when elderly people, they like to be called elderly.
Yeah.
Like I called them old one time.
And right.
I got freaked out. How elderly people spend their money. You know, and you say she likes money, but she's not a material person. You know why? Because they just spend their money on knickknacks.
Yeah.
You know, like little things, you know, little dogs, little elephant collection with little... You know, and my mom, she started falling into the hoarders thing.
Oh, really?
I mean, not bad, but she's a Rat Pack. And so I would show her hoarders. And I'd say, look, mom, you know, don't be this person.
Wow.
You know, trying.
That's crazy.
And then she's, why do you think I'm like that? Well, look at all this stuff I got to move around. And
right.
I like your place. It's very spacious, you know?
Simple. Yeah, knickknacks freak me out. So.
Yeah.
I keep like bringing paintings into your house. Like, here you go.
And she smiles. Thank you.
Yeah, today I'm gonna
put it on. No.
Yeah, no. I have a, like when someone gives me a gift that is like, I don't know, like a
meaningful.
Meaningful, mm-hmm. You know, you try to keep it, but if they give you a gift that is like a doll,
yeah.
I'm like, mm-hmm. Where am I gonna put a doll like in my house? Yeah. Am I gonna keep this doll? Does it mean
in a box?
You know, like it just takes up space. It doesn't go with your house. You know.
Yeah.
All right. And I think We did it, guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yay.
That was awesome.
Thank you for being here, Rick.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Oh.
Thank you very much. You guys can find me on rickiz.com if you want to.
Rickiz.com.
Yeah, I'll be back here hopefully in the summer. Yeah, IZ. Rickiz.com.
All right. And this episode comes out February 10th. We have listeners all over. And so
cool.
You can promote anything that you have after that.
Cool. Yeah, I got a calendar.
Yeah,
calendar. Rick, and if maybe I'll be in your city, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in New Mexico this weekend, this Friday. I'm going to Farmington. Have you guys heard of Sunray City Casino or Sun?
Yeah,
I've heard Farmington, of that casino.
So I'm performing there Friday, and then Saturday I'm driving up to Montrose, Colorado, and then performing at a bed and breakfast.
Have you guys heard of this place? In the morning?
I don't know.
Or at night?
I don't know. At night? I think it's at night.
During the breakfast?
I don't know. It's
during the breakfast or the bed?
I don't know. This is my first time in Colorado since they passed the law. So I'm very interested in seeing how things are.
Right.
There.
It's a weed bed and breakfast.
Yes. Curious to see what's up. So who knows? I might get lost.
Wake and bake.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a bed and weed. Bed and weed. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, all the stuff, Instagram. Rick Izquieta, but you'll find everything at rickiz.com, rickiz.com. Nice. Thanks for having me again. Thank you very much.
Check out Rick. He's very, very funny. And Genevieve, where are you going to be after February 10th, and where can people find you online?
All right. Well, February 12th, I'm going to be at the Scottsdale Contemporary Museum of Art, or SMOCA. Yeah.
Cool.
SMOCA. So that's going to be the Love is Tender show. Produced by Mr. Anthony DiSemito.
All right. All right.
And then February 25th, I'm going to be at Rock Bar in Old Town Scottsdale.
Cool.
A lot of talented people. So cool. Should be fun.
Nice.
And then
That's a new show.
I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the other stuff.
Nice. February 10th, the day this podcast comes out, I'm going to be in Prescott. Opening for JT Habersat and Mishka Shabali in the Doug Stanhope Altercation Comedy Tour with very fun guys. It's going to be at the Lizard Lounge at 8 o'clock in Prescott. Also, I'll be at SMOCA on February 12th as well. And then I'll be February 14th at the Rebel Lounge, which is somewhere. I don't know. Phoenix.
It's in Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay.
Yeah.
The Rebel Lounge on Valentine's Day. They chose me because they knew I would be single and not busy Valentine's Day.
Looking for a romantic gesture from somebody.
Yeah. I'll be busy, so that's good. I won't be, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
which is good. Okay. And so along with our individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TIFBAP, TYFBAP. We're also at TIFBAP on Instagram. You can check us out on facebook.com/ Thank You For Being A Podcast. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and on the Sad Women for Lonely Men network.
Yes. Our good friend Jackson Curtin runs that. Yeah.
And so check us out or listen to us in whatever platform you used to listen to us today. If you're following along, some of you are. The next episode is season 3, episode 22, and it is titled Rose's Big Adventure. So we'll see what that's about.
Pigs.
Pig robberies. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful day and or night. Yay.
Bye.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.